able to be with us today, whether it's for traveling or for sickness or whatever it might be. We ask that you would comfort and strengthen them at this time, and we hope to see them again soon. We pray for those of us who are here that we would listen attentively to your word being taught and preached. And we pray that you would be with Brother Renzi as he does so. We pray that you would each receive a blessing from what's done today, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. don't have any special announcements in this service. Just don't forget about our offerings. The Lord has really been blessing in the offerings recently, and so that's a blessing to see that. We trust that we'll continue to do what we can to serve the Lord here. All right, let's get back to singing. 135. 135. Goodbye, old world. I'm through with you. That song on Wednesday night.
Came up.
Very good. Well, we don't have any birthdays for this week, but we missed one last week. Brother Joe. All right. Coble. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we have some children here today, so they can be dismissed to go to their class. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. For the week that just finished, we were looking at both verses 14 and 15. Did anyone learn those and would like to say them? Go ahead, Cheryl. And then Sam.
No, can I just say the whole thing? Because it's easier.
Sure.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore with your loins girt about in truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Sam, go ahead. That's fine.
And therefore, your loins girt about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
All right, very good. Thank you. Okay, well, we'll say just verses 14 and 15 together, okay? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, we are going to move on now to verse 16 for this week starting today, all right? And we can say that together as well. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And by the way, that at the end there, it means the wicked one, referring to the devil. So obviously we have to be careful to avoid the darts that he wants to throw at us. We'll let you take over here.
Amen. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 1 Timothy, chapter 1? 1 Timothy, if you would, please. This morning, I want to, I'm going to tell you what you can do with yourself. What I want to do this morning is I want to take you through this book and kind of look at some things that Paul told Timothy what to do with himself. Now, I want you to get this because there's a lot of good things in here that we are encouraged. We're going to look first and foremost in chapter number 3, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, if you would please. And in a moment, we're going to begin in verse number 14 and 15. But I want you to understand something here. In this book, we have Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy. Now, in the context, and this is what we have to understand, in the context, he's speaking to leadership. Paul the Apostle speaking to Timothy as a minister. Okay, so the primary context is leadership. And so what I'm going to say this morning really, really in great measure in the context pertains to leadership. Now, that doesn't mean that we all don't have to do the things that he's told. Amen. I mean, when we read in Joshua chapter number 1 about be strong and be of good courage and all these other things, how many people know what I'm talking about? Joshua 1. Now, by the way, you get something from that, right? Sure you do. But guess what? That text is Moses speaking to Joshua, who's taking over the leadership. Amen. But although the Lord may speak to the leader, we know that he's speaking to all of our hearts. Amen. And so this morning, here's some things you can do with yourself. Amen. Number one, the first thing Paul tells Timothy in this book that he needs to do with himself, and leaders definitely need to do with themselves, is chapter 3, verse number 14 and 15. The Bible says this: These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So Paul obviously wasn't with Timothy, was hoping to get with him shortly. But here's what he says in verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to, what's the next two words? Behave thyself. Isn't that something? Paul the apostle is telling Timothy how to behave himself. Amen. That's not just a message for children. Amen. I think children need it more often. Ain't that the truth? Because children are growing up and they're in a training session. And so, by the way, we grew up not saying yeah to our kids. It's always no, no, no. In fact, somebody should sell a recorder or something. I think Target has that button, you hit it and it says, or Staples or something like that. Yeah, we can do that. Well, there should be a button we just hit it and says, no, no, no. There it is. She's going after whatever it is, right? No. We don't say, oh, yeah, go get in trouble. It's always no, no, no. Why? Because children are prone to do things, get into things, not even that they know it. Amen. But the fact of the matter, Paul the apostle told Timothy as a leader, one of the first things the leader needs to do is he needs to behave himself. And by the way, this applies to every one of us. Amen. And by the way, just because you're not a child doesn't mean you can't misbehave. Can I get a witness? Somebody could have said to King David when he was on that rooftop looking at Bathsheba, hey, behave yourself. Amen. He says in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. And in the context, because he's a leader, to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And by the way, this is a great book that deals with the ministry and the minister. But I wanted you to see something. Here's one of the reasons Paul the apostle told Timothy, you need to behave yourself. And this is one of the reasons that those that are in leadership need to behave themselves. Here's one of the reasons. Turn with me, if you would. We're in the neighborhood. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. One of the reasons that adults need to be told to behave themselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 10. Notice what Paul said to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. He said, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably, what did Paul say? We behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul the apostle is telling the Thessalonians, he's saying, listen, when we came to you with the gospel message, you know the kind of life we live. You know how we behaved ourselves among you. Now, what is one of the reasons that a leadership especially need to behave themselves for? And here's the reason: to be an example. Paul the apostle saying to the Thessalonians, we came among you sharing with you the gospel, but we behaved ourselves among you in such a way so as to be an example and to set the tone, if you will. In fact, I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here's one of the reasons leadership in the church needs to behave themselves, is because they're setting the tone and they're setting the example for everybody to follow. It's amazing how people mimic leadership. You ever notice that? I know a church where the preacher, and this is funny, but the preacher rolls his sleeves up. He rolls them up. I mean, you know, his dress shirt, but he rolls his sleeves up to about here. He's an old man, but he's pretty cut. First of all, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know what that's all about. But nonetheless, it's funny because then you see the ushers coming down the same thing. They got their sleeves up. Now, I wouldn't do that because I got too much hanging. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, it's amazing how people mimic leaders. When you sit under leadership for years and years and years and years, before you know it, you're saying things that they say all the time. You're actually sometimes having mannerisms like they have. It's amazing. My father-in-law, and by the way, my wife's not here. She's at my in-law's church today. We're having a dinner afterwards for my son that's going to college. But my father-in-law has had a tendon that was cut in his finger. And his fingers stuck like this. And so for years, I mean, when he's preaching, that's what you would see. He had a deacon that would, like, you know, I remember coming back to the Lord as a young man and coming to the front for some counseling from one of the deacons. And I remember the deacon taking me into the room to pray with me and to talk with me. And he's talking to me like this. What I'm saying to you is, this man was affected by the leadership. When you're constantly under the leadership of somebody, you kind of pick up the mannerisms, be it, you know, the facial expression, whatever it is. Paul knew that. Paul said to the Thessalonians, hey, we behaved ourselves among you. And by the way, there's a reason. You see, leadership needs to behave in such a way so as to set the tone of how the church will kind of be, if you will. They say that a thermometer will tell you the temperature. A thermostat will set the temperature. And preachers and leaders can't be thermometers. They can't just be people who discern the temperature. They need to be the thermostats and set the temperature of the type of church that you're going to have. Amen. Now, I want you to see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse number 7 to 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. Again, Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, he says this in verse number 7, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. In other words, he's saying, hey, we're the ones leading you, follow us. Here's what he said, for we behave not ourselves, what? Disorderly among you. Now, in the context, here's what he's saying, look at verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. Paul said, we came among you and we were not freeloaders. When Paul brought the gospel to these Gentiles, especially as he's first getting the gospel out there to these people, many times he would do it without charging them anything because he didn't want them to think that he was in it for the money. So he said, hey, we came in among you bringing the gospel, but we worked on the side. We worked to get what we had to eat. Why? There were people in the Thessalonian church freeloading off everybody else. They were, by the way, waiting for the Lord to come back. And therefore, they didn't want to work, so they live off of somebody else. They were living disorderly, because that's not proper order. If any man don't work, if you don't work, you ought not to eat. And here's what Paul said in verse number 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but we wrought, or we worked, and we labored, and travailed night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9, here it is, not because we have not power. In other words, he's saying, we didn't go to work because we don't have authority. They had the authority, they just didn't want to use that authority, because they knew at that time, if they were to use that authority, people perhaps would say, these people are just in it for the money. And so, putting aside the right that they had, for the sake of not hindering the gospel. He said, not because we had not power, but here's one of the reasons we worked among you and we did what we did, to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. So Paul is saying this, here's why we behave the way we behave among you. We wanted to make ourselves an example to you to follow. There's a message I have. I haven't yet really fully completed it, but the title of it is Setting the Tone. On purpose. Leadership has to set the tone on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident. In fact, let me say this. Jesus said this in John 17. I sanctify myself for their sake, that they also might be sanctified. Now, that doesn't mean the Lord said, I'm not living in sin and I'm separated, because he couldn't live in sin. He wouldn't live in sin. But he totally dedicated and lived his life for the Lord. He said, I did what I did for their sake, talking about the apostles, that they also might. Amen. So in reference to leadership especially, we have to behave ourselves in such a way so as to set the tone and to be an example to others to follow. Look at 1 Timothy chapter number 4, if you would, please. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. This is the importance of leadership, by the way. Listen, people are going to walk like you. Walk this way. They're going to walk like you. Amen? And so you got to watch how you walk. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want you to look with me, please. Again, this is a book focusing on the minister and the ministry. And here's what he says in 1 Timothy 4. Look at verse number 12. Here's what Paul tells Timothy. Let no man despise thy youth. Obviously, Timothy was a young man. But being young doesn't mean anything. If you're young and you live for the Lord, you are not to be despised. Amen. Verse number 12 goes on. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? An example of the believer in word, in lifestyle, conversation, in love or charity, in spirit and faith and purity. What he's saying? He's saying, Timothy, you need to behave yourself so that you can be an example for others to follow. This is one of the reasons the devil targets leadership. Amen. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. Look at Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus is right after 2 Timothy. Titus chapter number 2. I'm saying one of the reasons that leadership needs to behave themselves is they need to do it for the sake of others, for the sake of others. This is one of the reasons parents have to behave themselves. Now, this may sound strange to you because of maybe you're a good parent and you raise good children. But in some of the concrete jungles that we know of and live in, the parents do not behave themselves. When you got a parent cursing out the F word to their 2-year-old child in the supermarket, that is not behave. And you expect that child to grow up and stay out of jail? That's not behaving themselves. Amen. Parents have to behave themselves for the sake of the children. Listen, children are prone to wander, and if we give them an excuse, they'll go. Amen. And the old, you know, well, they did it. That's what they look for. Amen. Titus chapter number 2. Again, Paul speaking to Titus as an example among the Cretans. He says in Titus 2, look at verse number 7 and 8. In all things, showing thyself a pattern, an example of good works, in doctrine, showing corruptness or uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, and so on and so on. Here's one of the reasons we need to be examples. We need to behave ourselves as to being examples. Now, here's what I want to do. I'm going to give you 2 keys, I think, to behaving ourselves. Here's 2 keys to behaving ourselves. If a person is going to behave themselves, it's going to have to become, there's going to be 2 thoughts. Number 1, growth. Growth is the key to behaving yourself. Children are taught and trained as they are growing up, but they ought to get to a place where they grow more and more to be more and more what? Behaved. I want you to look with me for a moment in Psalms, Psalm 131 for a moment. Psalm 131. Growth is the key to behaving yourselves. You know, people first get saved and they, you know, they still slip out with things. You ever have anybody like that? Amen. I mean, they just got saved. And I mean, there's been some testimonies in some churches I've been at where the guy that just got saved got up and his praising the Lord had some words in there that I would be like, you got to be kidding me. He didn't know. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's got to be understood. Coming from where he's coming from, you know, he's like, you know, that's just his natural way of saying something's good. Amen. And but nonetheless, as a person grows in the Lord and in the word, they ought to be able to behave themselves more and more. Amen. Psalm 131, look at verse number 1 and 2. Here's what David says. Psalm 131, 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, he said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor are mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. He's talking about his humble situation, how he felt. Verse number 2, I want you to get what he says. Surely I have behaved and quieted what? Myself. He's talking about I behaved myself. Why? As a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul was even as a weaned child. Weaned? What does that mean? Growing. To wean a child means you're not feeding it no more. Amen. It's starting to feed itself and so on. Growth. In fact, 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen. And so when it comes to behaving ourselves, we have to behave ourselves as leaders, especially, and we have to behave ourselves as Christians. And the key to behaving ourselves is growth. But then there's also, look at Psalm 101. Not only is growth a part of behaving ourselves, here's another thing that's a part of behaving ourselves. I put this down. Determination. Determination. We have to grow in the Lord. We have to grow in the Word. And this is all a part of learning to behave ourselves. But we also have to be determined to behave ourselves. Amen. By the way, parents help their children to get determined to behave themselves before they go places. You ever been there? Okay, we're getting ready to go here. We're getting ready to go visit so-and-so. And you know they got all their knickknacks all over. Can I get a witness? By the way, some of you don't even know what knickknacks are. I mean, we don't have any in our house anymore. But growing up, I mean, we had like, my mom liked elephants. You know, you had this ceramic elephant, the knickknacks all over. And when kids come in, what do they think? Well, there's toys or whatever. And so what do you do? And especially if you got a few children and you're going to that house that, you know, it's like a museum. Now, kids, before we go in here, what are you doing? You are being determined to help them behave themselves. You know, when you get older, you don't speak to the children like that. You speak to yourself like that. Oh, I'm getting ready to get with the family here. Oh, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Oh, no. You know what? Oh, these people forever are always bringing up, it's all politics. Oh, what do you think about Obama? What do you think about, it's all, you know? And oh, here we go. And there he is. And what am I going to do? I'm determined to behave myself. We don't say it that way. We say, I'm determined not to get into it with this person. Just nod and wave or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Look at Psalm 101. Here's what David said. He was determined to behave himself. Psalm 101. Look at verse number 2. In fact, he said, well, look at Psalm 101, verse number 1. He said, I will sing mercy. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will, verse number 2, I will. That's determination right there. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. David was determined. By the way, this is a great chapter. Speaking about leadership, this is a great chapter on leadership. In fact, I've entitled it Leadership 101. They believe that David wrote this upon becoming the king of the whole nation of Israel. And what he was doing was he was praying for God to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem and to kind of get things going again. And he was telling the Lord he was determined to be a good king. He was determined to live right. He was determined that the people that were going to be in his cabinet, if you will, are going to be good people and so on. In other words, he's saying, Lord, we are trying to live in such a way. We want your presence. We need your presence. And we're determined to live in such a way to have it. I'll behave myself if you'll come, please. Amen. First thing, I want you to turn back now. Turn back to First Timothy. So one of the first things Paul tells Timothy, we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. One of the first things that Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, I want you to know how to behave yourself. And leaders need to behave themselves, and we all need to behave ourselves. Amen. And the essence of it really is temperance. The essence is the Spirit's power within us, giving us the strength to overcome ourselves. That's behaving yourself. Amen. Behave yourself, number one. Let me give you a second thought. Here's what he says. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 7. He says this to Timothy, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And here's the next two words. I don't usually like these words. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself. Now, some of you just caught on to that, why I don't like that word. But nonetheless, exercise yourself. See, Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, behave yourself. And by the way, I like the logic of the order. Because the key to behaving yourself is exercise yourself. You need to exercise yourself unto godliness. Amen. Godlikeness. What does that mean? That means work out. You can't talk about exercise without talking about working out. That's why I don't like to talk about this too much. We'll try to get by this real fast. But nonetheless, here's two things that we need to exercise ourselves. Here's two things that Timothy needed to exercise himself. Two things we need to exercise ourselves. And I believe if we exercise ourselves properly, we'll behave ourselves better. No doubt about it. Number one, or A, exercise yourself in knowing God's word. exercise yourself in knowing God's word. Here's a verse for you. Jude 20. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's the word of God, by the way. Jude 3. Contend for the faith. Jude says, build up yourselves. That's bodybuilding right there. Because it's the body of truth once and for all delivered right here. Build yourself up. Turn to Hebrews, if you would, chapter number 5 for a moment. Hebrews chapter number 5. We need to exercise ourselves in the knowing of the word of God. Especially, get the context, leadership. Leadership. Leadership cannot afford to not know the word of God. Can't do it. Amen? You have to exercise yourself in the book. Hebrews chapter number 5, look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 14. Notice what it says. And by the way, the context is the word of God. In fact, he says, look at verse number 13. For everyone that useth what? Milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. In other words, if you only have need milk of the word, basic doctrines, you're a babe. You need to get to a place where milk is not enough. Basic doctrine, I need more word. I need some meat. We ought to go from milk drinkers to meat eaters. Amen? Look at verse number 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of what? Full age, which means mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses what? Exercise to discern both good and evil. You and I have to exercise ourselves in this book if we are going to know right from wrong. If I'm going to know how to behave myself, I need to know the word of God. Amen? I need to know the do's and the don'ts. Amen? Let me give you a word that really means exercise. Ready? 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. To show yourself approved unto God. The word study is diligence. That's exercise. That's working out. Amen? And so exercise, he said, exercise yourself. Exercise yourself, number one, in knowing God's word. And here's another thing. Exercise yourself in doing God's word. It's one thing to work out, to learn the word of God. Then it's another thing to work out doing the word of God. Amen? I want you to note, if you would, turn to Acts chapter number 24. Acts chapter number 24. Leadership needs to behave themselves. But the best way that they can behave themselves is to exercise themselves. Exercise yourself in this book. Exercise yourself in the knowing of the word of God and in the doing of the word of God. And that will help your behavior. Amen. In fact, Paul lays it out right here for us, as we're going to note. The Bible says in Acts 24, look at verse number 16. Acts 24, 16. And herein, Paul said this, herein. By the way, if you want the context, look at verse 15. In fact, let's do it. Paul said he had hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Now, Paul's talking about the fact he knows there's going to be a resurrection, which means what? He knows he's going to have to stand before God one day. Watch what he says in light of the resurrection, his own resurrection. Verse 16, herein. In light of the fact I know that I'm going to live again and stand before God. Herein do I what? Exercise myself to do what? To have always a conscience void of offense toward who? God, and then toward man. What is Paul saying? Paul's saying, in light of the fact that I know I'm going to be resurrected one day and stand before the Lord, I exercise myself. I aggressively try to keep my life clean before God. Try to keep a clean conscience before God. And then also before man. But God first. God always first. Amen? Let me give you, I think, what Paul said in another book that probably lays it out as well. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. As you have always obeyed. The context is obedience. As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Here's what he says. Work out. Oh boy, that's exercise right there. Can't get away with it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, what is Paul saying? Paul's saying, work out what God's working in. Get in the book, God's working in you, now work it out. That's exercise. That's work. Amen? That's what exercise is to me. It's a four-letter word. It's work. Amen? Paul said to Timothy, number one, you need to behave yourself. He said, number two, you need to exercise yourself. And then look at chapter four. Go back, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I'm telling you what we can do with ourselves here, amen, and what we need to learn to do with ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. These are just basically some things that Paul said to Timothy. Here, Timothy, do this. Behave yourself. Exercise yourself. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 15. Here's the next thing he tells Timothy to do. In fact, he tells him to give himself. Give himself. Look at verse number 15. He said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now, in the context, the context is 13 to 16. In the context, what Paul the Apostle is telling Timothy, he's saying, Timothy, give yourself to the Word of God and to the work of God. Give yourself to the Word of God and to the work of God. In fact, he says, give yourself wholly to these things. Look what he says in the context, verse number 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now skip down to verse 15, because we already, 16, because we already read verse 15. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. In doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, give yourself. God called him, obviously, to the full-time ministry. In fact, God told God through Paul told Timothy, listen, don't get involved with the affairs of this life. As a soldier in the ministry, I don't want you distracted. I want you to give yourself wholly to the Word of God, wholly to the work of God. That's what he told him. Give yourself, give yourself, give yourself. In fact, I think of the example in Acts chapter 6. Verses 1 to 7, when the church began to grow, multitudes and multitudes of people began to come. And before you know it, some women started complaining about being neglected. And the apostles said, listen, it's not reason for us to leave the Word of God and to leave prayer and to leave the things God called us to do to serve tables. And so God told them to raise up a couple men, and we believe these to be the first initial deacons, if you will, to go ahead and serve the tables and take care of that business, because the apostles said, we're going to give ourselves to the Word of God in prayer. Amen. And that's what they were to do. And by the way, because they did that, the church grew. By the way, in the Bible, every believer is encouraged to give themselves. In fact, we're told in Romans 6:13 to yield ourselves to God. Amen. And that's to believers. Yield yourselves. The word yield is the same as the word give. Give yourselves to God. The context is what we call sanctification. Don't give your body over to uncleanness and to unholiness. Give yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead. Amen. Give yourselves to God. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, when Paul was talking about the Macedonians and their giving, he said, listen, they didn't just give to the Lord financially. They first gave of themselves to the Lord. Amen. And so that's the encouragement. In fact, I recall Proverbs 23:26. Solomon may have been speaking to his son, but I hear one greater than Solomon say, my son, give me thy heart. Amen. We need to give ourselves to God, but we also need to give ourselves to prayer. In fact, in Psalm 109, verse number 4, the psalmist said, listen, my enemies are giving me evil for good. He said, but I give myself to prayer. Amen. Let me give you the next thought. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, not 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy. We're still in 1 Timothy. And so we're told, listen, the minister, the leader and leadership and all of us, we need to behave ourselves. We need to exercise ourselves. We need to give ourselves. And then chapter 5, and look at verse number 22, please. Chapter 5, verse number 22. Here's what Paul told Timothy in this portion. Lay hands suddenly on no man. And that means don't ordain somebody very quickly. In the context, it may even be those who were ordained and got away from the Lord and were coming back to maybe be reordained. He was saying, don't lay hands on no man suddenly. But look at verse number 22. Here's what it says. Lay hands on no man suddenly, neither be partaker of any man's sins. What's the next statement? Keep thyself pure. So Timothy, one of the things he had to do with himself was keep himself. And in the context, keep himself pure. Amen. And that's what every believer has to do. Leadership especially has to do that. Leadership especially has to do that. How many leaders have been taken by immorality and other things? Because they are our primary target for the devil. Amen? And so need to keep themselves. Need to keep themselves. And I'll put this down here, a couple thoughts. They need to keep themselves from the world. James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Leadership and every Christian needs to keep themselves from the world. Amen. And by the way, nowadays you don't have to go out to the world to get it dirty. We have the luxury of having the world come right to us. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. So we all have to be very, very careful. Listen, not only do we need to keep ourselves from the world, we need to keep ourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now you say, well, brother, I don't go to that Catholic church with all them idols in there. Listen, we have a marble-less church here. Some of you will get that in a minute. If you've never been to Catholic church, it's all filled with marble. That's what the statues, a lot of them, are made of. This is a marble-less church, amen? No statues, no idols. Now we got, okay, thank you. It's pretty bad when you got to interpret your own jokes. But anyway, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. What is an idol? An idol's anything that takes the place of God. That's what an idol is. And we all have to be very, very careful, amen, that we don't allow ourselves or anything else or anybody else to take the place of God, because our God is a jealous God, amen. I want you to know, not only do we need to keep ourselves from the world and keep ourselves from idols, we need to keep ourselves from the devil. look with me. We're in the neighborhood. No, we're not in the neighborhood, but we're going to the neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. You don't have to worry about it. You're not going to get jumped in this one. Look at 1 John, if you would, chapter number 5. 1 John, chapter number 5. We have a responsibility. Leadership especially has a responsibility, and we all have a responsibility. We have to keep ourselves pure. We have to keep ourselves. You know what keep yourself pure means? Keep yourself lays on you and I a responsibility. We have a responsibility. Amen. And keep yourself from the world. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse number 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God, that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, by the way, some people take this verse and misgrossly characterize it. They say, oh yeah, see that means if you're saved, you can't never sin. I'd like to see that person. I'd like to see the person that ever done that. Serious, amen. Doesn't mean that. It means you can't be saved and live in sin without something happening. Amen. Romans 6 talks about the fact that we're dead to sin and we no longer will enjoy it. And plus God will deal with us, we that are saved, amen. Nonetheless, verse number 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God, or born again, if you will, keepeth himself, right? Keepeth himself, and what happens? And that wicked one toucheth him not. You and I that are saved have the privilege, thank God, and the responsibility to keep ourselves. How do you keep yourself from the devil? I think of one way of doing it is Ephesians 4:27. Give no place to the devil. That's a good way of keeping yourself from the devil. You know, some old people can't crack the door for a stranger. Do you know why? They don't have the strength to hold them back once they crack that door open. Can I get a witness? You and I can't toy with the devil. And by the way, that little chain thing we hold on there, it ain't going to do nothing. You give him an inch, I guarantee you, he takes the yard. Give him no place. Somebody said, rent him no rooms in your house. Amen. Keep yourself, keep yourself. Not only do we have to keep ourselves from the world and from idols and from the devil, but might I say this, Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. So we have a lot of responsibility, right? Let me go on. I'm going to move on because I'm trying to get through this quickly. Listen, we need to behave ourselves. We need to exercise ourselves. We need to give ourselves. We need to keep ourselves. And then look at chapter 6. Go back to 1 Thessalonians as we come down. As we come down real fast and real hard. 1 Timothy. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm just going to touch on these ones because I'm already running out of time. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse number 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing they gain his godliness. If you read the context, verses 3 to 5, he's talking about false teachers telling you that gain is godliness. Well, we have that nowadays. If you got the jets and the airplanes and all this other stuff and my God's blessing you, that's godliness, and that's not the truth. He said, listen, people preach like this. From such withdraw thyself. Withdraw thyself. And that's the next point. Withdraw thyself. Especially leadership. Leadership can't be affected by other bad leadership. Amen. When leadership is affected by bad leadership, the leadership that is now affected will infect the whole church. When a preacher goes astray, usually the flock follows him, sad to say. Right? Withdraw thyself. I'm going to move on. Look at the last point. I'm going to give you this and quit. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I went out of order just for this sake because I think logically, this point is probably the better ending of it. Paul said to the leader, listen, behave yourself, exercise yourself, give yourself, keep yourself. And this is a great message for leadership, great message for all of us. Withdraw yourself. And then the final thing I want to say is this. Look at chapter number 4, look at verse number 16. What's the first two words? Take heed. Take heed unto who? Unto yourself. See, here's why I held this for last. The leader has to take heed. The words take heed, as you well know, that's a word of warning. That's a word of caution. Take heed unto yourself. And I say this, take heed unto yourself that you're doing all these other things with yourself. Amen. Bible says in Acts 20:28, take heed unto yourself and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers and so on. And so I conclude with this. There's a lot of things that we have to do with ourselves. Am I right on that one? And the question is, why should I be concerned about myself? And here's the answer, real simple. One day, Romans 14:12, we're going to stand before the Bema Seat of Christ and we're going to give an account of our... Oh, that's why I need to focus on me. I got to focus on me because I'm going to stand for me before the Lord. Amen. May God help us. Father, pray you'll bless the time we had and bless our time of fellowship now and bless the upcoming service in Jesus' name. Amen.